Marshfield Medical Center Credit Union is warning people about an influx of scams they've seen recently. I spoke with Dennis Murphy, president of MMCCU, and he explained some of the scams they've seen and what you can do to protect yourself.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to discuss this. It's an unfortunate reality of where we find ourselves in society these days, and I'm sure you've experienced it, I've experienced it. Anyone who has a cell phone or even a landline, the number of calls that you get from people who, you know, the obvious ones who are the people who are just cold calling, trying to get some information. But, you know, what we've seen pop up here in recent months, and I will preface this by saying this isn't just our institution. We keep tabs on and just keep our ear to the ground as far as what other institutions are reporting. And we've seen that this is across the board, unfortunately, with a number of institutions. But what we're seeing is that members and non-members, you know, I'll make that point emphasis as well, are receiving calls from phone numbers that actually do belong to the credit union. And so when these individuals answer thinking that they're talking to the credit union, then all of a sudden they're getting asked for, sometimes it starts high level, just name, address, kind of the personal information there. But as they are able to extract more and more information out of you, then it ends up going into the realm of, you know, account numbers and debit card numbers and Social Security numbers and the stuff that you don't want to be handing out to just strangers on the street, so to speak. And so we just wanted to bring attention to this and just make sure that people are well aware that, you know, first and foremost, we are aware that these things are happening. Unfortunately, there's not a lot that we can do. Checked into what we've been able to do to help protect our phone numbers, and there's not a whole lot that we can do with that. So it is just the reality of the situation. What we always end up telling individuals who do receive these calls, if you get any call and you have any suspicion whatsoever, just hang up the phone. If you work with us, feel free to give us a call back during our working hours. If you don't work with us, you can also call and report that it happened. But otherwise, I would just ignore it. But anytime that you're being asked to provide sensitive information, even if it is just name and address. Now, a lot of times, especially if you've done any online shopping or filled out any forms online, a lot of that information is out there just in general. And so that is the downside to having access to all this information, is that that information is somewhat freely available. So they may, even if they're asking for that kind of information, it's not something that we're typically calling and asking about, and nor are any financial institutions. They're not calling you out of the blue and saying, oh, by the way, what's your address and what's your phone number and what's this and what's that? Because we have had to have collected that already when we first started working with you or when we continue to work with you. A lot of times where this information is gathered, because this question does come up quite often, is not necessarily that our system's been breached or that we have a record with you, we have your name or whatever on file, and that's how they got this information. A lot of times what they're doing is they're finding this information on the dark web, and wherever, they're buying these lists from other solicitors. However they're getting their hands on it, not necessarily through our means, but then they're just sending out mass messages to individuals. So a lot of times what we see is, you know, we'll see some of the phone call attempts, but we will see mass text messages that go out as well. They don't necessarily know that you work with us or don't work with us. They're just making a widespread attempt to see who they could actually get to engage with them. That's when, you know, so for the individuals who do work with us, they get that message or they get that phone call and they think, well, I do work with them. Man, I hope my finances are protected. Then they start to go on to, instead of thinking about, okay, well, why would they call me and why would they be asking me for this information? Their minds get fixated on the problem itself. And so therefore they're more open to giving up that information. And ultimately then it ends up in the hands of the fraudsters. They end up taking that information. They may wipe your account out. They may take your money some other way, or they may just use that information to try to get more information about you. And so we always just say in general, if you're being asked for any of that type of information and you're not sure, hang up the phone, call back, call the number that you trust, because we haven't found that if you make an inbound call to us, for example, we're not finding that those calls are being rerouted. So fortunately, if you call us back and you get a hold of one of us, we're going to tell you right off the bat, no, we haven't been calling you. And that should give enough validation to show that that was the actual fraudster attempt. So it's really just bringing light to this. Again, if it doesn't sound right or it doesn't feel right, just stop the phone call. I know we're Midwest nice. It seems rude to just stop on someone. But at the end of the day, that's what it needs to take, because they will keep you on the phone for as long as possible, because the longer they keep you on the phone, the more likely it is that you will give one piece of information or all of your information that they can then use to, like I said, get into your account or take some of your finances, whatever they need, whatever their goal was for the particular call or attempt that they're making. That's all they're looking to do, is just get that information from you. So by keeping you on the phone longer and longer and longer, they may be able to fish something out of you that you wouldn't have given if you had just hung up the phone, or if you knew that it was someone from another country or whatever that's calling you. So again, just to bring light to the situation, just to let people know that this is something that is happening. It's happening across the board. It doesn't matter the size of the institution. It doesn't matter if you even work with the institution, unfortunately. We've had plenty of employees even who have gotten these messages from another bank or a credit union and saying, I've never done anything with them. It's not that they have your information. It's just that they're fishing for information from you.
Right. And we should probably mention, too, that, you know, I think if there are individuals out there that, you know, like, these guys can be tricky and they may fall for the scam and they may end up giving away that information or even money. But they shouldn't be embarrassed. And they should probably contact the authorities if it does get to that point.
That's a great point, Riley. Yes, it happens to the best of us, is what I will say. So first and foremost, once you realize if you do happen to get into a situation where you have given information up that you shouldn't have given up, that's the default emotion, is I can't believe I did that. I'm ashamed that I did that. I should have known better. And for a lot of people, that will drive them to not say anything because they're embarrassed by the situation. So first and foremost, what I would say is reach out to any of the financial institutions that you work with, that you do work with, and get their guidance. So if you gave out card information, for example, let's get that card shut down as soon as possible. If you gave out account information, we can take the appropriate steps, depending on what information was ultimately taken from you, to make sure that we can mitigate some of the risks of having your account accessed, obviously, without your consent. If it's like social security number or some of that information that is bigger than just your bank or your credit union relationship, there are steps that you can take to protect that when it comes to freezing your credit reports, filing for a PIN number with the IRS when you go to file your property or your personal tax. Excuse me. So there are steps you can take. So don't think, oh, I gave my social security number, there's nothing I can do about it. There's always something that you can do. It may not stop everything from happening, but we can at least help you take the steps towards trying to help mitigate and protect yourself against some of those steps. So yes, that's a great point. Don't ever feel ashamed. It you know, we've heard of individuals that it's happened to, and you would think, I can't believe that, but at the same time, that's not our goal. Our goal is not to shame you into falling for those scams, because we know how good they are. A lot of them, especially with the emergence of AI, we know that a lot of them are driven by that. It's no longer the day where you could tell, okay, well, this is an individual calling from Russia or Ukraine or one of those countries like that. They are very sophisticated and they are very convincing, and they are able to share information with you that you would think, okay, well, this is a fraudster out of a third world country. They wouldn't know that, but they know a lot more information about the employees of the institution, or they might know information about, like, Marshfield, let's just say, or the greater Marshfield area, to where you might ask a question and they may be able to answer it. And so it's even harder to dictate if they're, you know, BSing you, so to speak, or if they actually are legitimate and individual who works at the bank or credit union. So you can, you know, I won't speak on behalf of, like, law enforcement. They're pretty limited on what they can do when it comes to that. And I'm not saying that means you shouldn't necessarily reach out to them. But a lot of times when it comes to, if it is another country that's fraudster is based out of, it's pretty difficult for them to do anything really to help either mitigate, you know, some of the losses potentially or whatnot. So not to say that you shouldn't call them, but I, you know, from our experience, their hands are a little tied in the situation ultimately. And ours are too, but we still have some of the information that we're more than happy to share with you to try to get you through those situations.
All right. Excellent. And now, speaking of information, is there a good place people can go if they want to learn more about the potential types of scams that are out there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I know that on our website, and I'm just pulling up the URL right now so that I say that correctly, but we put a lot of information out on our website. If you go to mmccu.com/security, we have built out some information on our website to address that. I'm fairly confident to say that a lot of the local institutions have put information out there just because of how prevalent it is. If you end up Googling a lot of this information, and you know, you may not know necessarily the terms, but even if it's just like, hey, I gave a scamster or I gave a fraudster my social security number, what should I do? That will help provide some information. And I would trust, you know, like when it comes to the social security stuff, or social security number, for example, I would trust like Social Security Administration or the IRS. I would trust those government entities and the guidance that they're providing you, because they're the ones who could ultimately help you. So your local institution most likely is going to have some information. Otherwise, like I said, some of those government agencies should be able to help as well.
All right, excellent. Is there anything else then? Anything else that you would like to touch on or highlight that you'd like our listeners to know about?
You know, at the end of the day, if you do take a call that you're not sure of, reach out to someone that you trust and that you know, whether it is your local institution, whether it's a family member. Just bounce it off someone before you think, well, this makes sense. They should be asking for my Social Security number or anything like that. Even if they can start verifying information, we still tell people, I'd rather you hang up on me on the phone because you're not sure that I'm actually a credit union, you know, the president of the credit union. I'd rather you do that and call back and me say, yep, that was me. You know, I'm glad that you took the steps, rather than you calling in and going, well, I just talked to John Smith there at the credit union and gave him all my information, and I have to turn around and say, we don't have a John Smith here.
Right.
And hear that inflection in your voice to realize that, oh, shoot, I just gave that information. So whatever you do, always side on the side of caution. Take the side of caution and make sure that you protect that information as best you can.
Again, if you'd like to learn more, you can head to MMCCU's website, or you can even go to websites like DATCAP or the Better Business Bureau.